Capital Market Insights from ICMA.
Hi, everyone, and thank you for listening in to this ICMA podcast. I'm Rebecca Bray, the Vice Chair of the ICMA Future Leaders. Today, we will be joined by Martina McPherson, the Head of ESG Strategy and a General Management Committee member for Oddo BHF Asset Management and Private Equity. In addition to her day-to-day role, she's the President of the Network for Sustainable Financial Markets, about which she'll be speaking with us today, particularly regarding their next generation initiative. In addition to her day-to-day role, as well as her role in the NSFM, she's also a visiting fellow at Henley Business School, as well as a guest lecturer at the University of Zurich, where she teaches courses in sustainable finance. Welcome, Martina. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. Thanks for having me.
Super. We're so pleased to hear from you. So why don't we just kick it off just with some introduction into the organization of NSFM. So first of all, could you tell us a little bit in your own words about NSFM or Network for Sustainable Financial Markets? Could you tell us a little bit about the people behind the organization, its purpose, and especially the scope that you have?
Yeah, thank you. So we are a group of 8 like-minded individuals at the Network for Sustainable Financial Markets, NSFM Next Gen. And we came together at the end of 2018, following a consultation that we did with our member base to highlight the Sustainable Financial Markets Network is more than a decade old, but initially had a very specific targets around focusing on industry and academia, research, and the capacity building initiatives across the industry. But we did a consultation in 2016 with our members network, and we asked them when and how would it be most useful to go beyond the generic thematic, fundamental, or factor-related topics that we had for the network, given also that many other ESG networks were emerging at the time. And feedback from our members base was that we should literally align our efforts on the one hand with the 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, the so-called SDGs, and that we should actually focus on next generation topics, given that there was an increasing understanding that gender diversity, maybe ethnic diversity, and other issues were key fundamental factors for long-term success. We have seen that, right, when and where research on companies and the way they are run are conducted and the way actually portfolios are being aligned with increasingly gender-related topics. But there wasn't much done in the industry in and around the next generation and sustainable finance and ESG investing. So hence, we launched the initiative, we changed the board, we brought in a wide array of different leaders in the space, and we have now brought together these 8 like-minded individuals. We are from different age groups, different gender groups, different ethnicity groups, but we all have the same ambition to support and enable the next generation of sustainable finance experts, capital markets professionals, and academics. And we are aiming to work on initiatives jointly, and we call them targeted interventions that are in alignment with the 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So our overall objective is to build and encourage critical thinking skills, to create learning opportunities, and to offer mentor and career talent management programs to help the next generation in our community. And that means we are focusing our community activities on 3 main areas. That's education and knowledge exchange, including actually public policy and market engagements, on mentoring through third-party programs. And we've worked with, you know, for instance, the Global Thinkers Forum, as well as here the Center for Sustainable and Corporate Sustainable and Responsible Companies. We've worked also, last but not least, on career and talent management with different type of HR and recruitment partners. And you might have seen at the end of 2020, we launched a program together with Brune Financial, being part of their series of when and where and how we could attract the next generation towards topics in and of sustainable finance.
Thank you very much, Martina, for that explanation. It's very exciting to hear about, especially about your recent initiatives focusing on the next generation, which leads me to my next question. Now, you sort of addressed some of these points. What do you hope to achieve, and and what activities have you already undergone within this Next Generation initiative? But do you have anything to add as far as your, you know, your ultimate goals for what you want to achieve in regards to the Next Generation?
Sure, absolutely. So we would like to support and also drive the paradigm shift that we have seen when and where the global and the just transition is concerned. So ultimately, we have seen that a lot of effort has been spent focusing on environmental issues, on defining the green and the global transition, and making actually everyone a part of this journey from, you know, corporates to the investors, obviously NGOs, and now increasingly policymakers and regulators. Where we are still seeing there is a need, there is definitely one when and where social factors and social initiatives are concerned. So ultimately, we are very much aligned with what the EU Commission is driving in its own right around the just transition and the digital transition and the young and next gen transition, all different topics that are coming up and coming to the fore. And this is so important because clearly millennials, in the context of the wealth transfer that's going to happen from the baby boomers to the millennial generation, you know, they have an important role to play in order to ensure that they are part of the decision-making value chain. When and where financial decisions are concerned, that's the wealth transfer, as well as when and where corporate decisions are concerned, because we shouldn't forget all of these young leaders, may they be in industry or academia, are following a certain career path. And literally, they are setting the scene for others to follow. And that means, you know, we would like to engage with them early in the process so that they understand the environmental and social challenges that our and the next generation and the following after that will face in the context of intergenerational justice, capital, and equity. And so with the help of the NSFM Next Gen initiative, we aim to provide different means to get access to relevant information, to toolkits, to networks, as well as opportunities, you know, highlighted the mentoring and career and talent management initiatives. So we're aiming truly to contribute to sustainable growth and development in the context of youth development, as set out also by the Sustainable Development Goals. And that means at NSFM, we conduct public information, outreach and engagement activities, and we are very, very active on social media, online, on the website, and in collaboration with many different partners. For instance, we have launched a dedicated SDG initiative with BrightTalk, also over the course of 2019, to offer a series of thematic webinars linked to different ESG/SDG topics with the aim to highlight new ideas, product innovation, best-in-class research, and concepts that could be applied across industry and academia. At the same time, we are supporting online reference libraries and education channels, as well as think tanks, to provide actually free access and information on leading industry and academic publications and developments in the field to truly benefit the next gen community. And ultimately, we work with a variety of different strategic partners across industry and academia again to provide and exchange information on relevant updates. And in turn, we make this information as well available to our next-gen community via a dedicated newsletter and our website. And maybe lastly, as I highlighted, we see the importance to interconnect the worlds of industry, NGOs, and academia. And we hence have also launched a dedicated academic NSFM Next-Gen Education Research Network to interlink and engage with education providers on sustainable finance content.
Thank you, Martina. I think, firstly, I think you make a very important and relevant point about the future responsibility of millennials as the wealth transfer occurs in the coming years, about our activity and how we can support sustainable financial markets, and not to forget the Gen Zers who are coming up behind millennials. So from what you've said, it sounds like there is a wealth of information and resources available from the NSFM to the next generation. It sounds like you're really hitting all the platforms in the areas where the millennial generations are active and would be able to access it. So that's so encouraging to hear. Now, regarding the actual aspects of ESG itself, of course, we all know that there is a big focus on the E. So this focus on climate change, that's very visible to the whole world from millennials and particularly from the Gen Z generation. Do you think that there's more that could be done, not only on the environment part of the equation, but particularly on social and governance? What are your thoughts about that?
Very much so. And it's definitely a fair thing to say that social issues are slowly but steadily rising to the fore. And that's driven by multiple factors. We look at the COVID-19 context, the increasing focus on health and well-being, including mental health, linked to issues, you know, related to remote working, the increasing focus on being attached to a screen for more than potentially 10 hours per day. We have also seen heavily debated discussions in our industry now when and where working hours per se in front of the screen and related to remote working are concerned. And this is currently debated quite controversially across the different sectors. And there's also a new awakening around the meaning and definition of culture, you know, in the workplace and purpose. And ultimately, there is now an increasing focus on equality, diversity, inclusion. You know, in movements such as Black Lives Matter and various gender diversity initiatives and LGBT initiatives have really brought the social topics to the fore. But there's also an interesting disconnect from whatever it happens now within society and at a corporate level, when and where these S initiatives are being formed and are being driven to the fore. Investors per se have paid more attention in most cases to environmental versus social issues. And a contributing factor here might be the case that it is difficult to establish one social indicator or factor that rules them all. You know, after all, social issues cover a wide range of topics from consumer protection to product safety to human rights, labor laws and safety at work to diversity and inclusion as highlighted, as well as the fight against corruption and ultimately supply chain management oversight. And that means to complicate matters further, there's also a different emphasis when and where social aspects are concerned. And for instance, the role of unions and employee councils and others, which might actually really differ country by country. You know, Germans tend on average to place a greater emphasis on respecting human rights and avoiding child labor. They have controversy screening policies in place at large. So do the Nordic countries. In the UK, by contrast, the issue of workplace diversity has become increasingly important in recent years. And in order to make progress in this area and to define common themes and material issues, as we say, it is also important to have clear definitions and measurements for what constitutes a social company and social impact. So ultimately, one of the things that's happening now is that the EU Commission and the Sustainable Finance Action Plans work on the social taxonomy, as well as the work of many different normative standard setters as part of the corporate dialogue. They're aiming to decide more closely on how much scope, weight, and measurement to focus on the different social issues so that in turn investors can actually compare different companies and sectors in social terms. And hence, you know, with an increasing focus on more alignment and harmonization of taxonomies and metrics on the one hand, and then the consolidated efforts being made by industry, in this case, investors, to highlight social issues, especially the latest coalitions around human rights and labor rights, and part of these, you know, hosted by CCLA, or on human capital management issues like Share Action's Workforce Disclosure Initiative, the more we are seeing a consolidated effort being made around these common themes, raising awareness when and where and how they can make an impact, the more we will also see investor alignment on the issues.
Thank you, Martina. I think you make a great point about the disconnect between focus on environment and then especially social aspects. I think anybody, especially working with sustainable finance, can totally echo you in seeing that disconnect visible across, you know, different institutions and at different levels. So I think it's really smart to focus on this when you're addressing the next generation of upcoming financial professionals, which leads very nicely to my next question, which is certainly relevant for our ICMA Future Leaders listeners. So what challenges do you see for young financial professionals in being able to play a more active role in the sustainable agenda and carrying that forward?
So yes, clearly the next generation of leaders has a role to play. Today, there are 1.2 billion young people aged 15 to 24 years, accounting for 16% of the global population. These are the latest figures by the UN. And the active engagement of youth and the next generation in sustainable development efforts is absolutely essential in achieving sustainable, inclusive, and stable societies that are focusing on long-term and intergenerational issues. And ultimately, we can only jointly target sustainable development and the impacts of climate change, unemployment, poverty, gender inequality, conflict, and migration. And all of these issues here that are highlighted are just some of the macro themes that are very interconnected and have risen to the fore in the broader ESG context. So ultimately, meeting these development goals is also critical to youth development, and it is fundamental to ensure that the next generation is aware of these type of issues, that they are aware that there are means to address them, and that there's a route through finance, and that they actually have been enabled to get access to the relevant pieces of information. And that in turn will also ensure that they are part of the decision-making value chain within organizations when they join the ranks of professionals, as well as the rank of investors. And I recently did an interesting piece, a small blog here on intergenerational capital and equity for the ICMA's Future Leader blog. And it is quite important to see, and there's a bit of research been done around this area, that only if we are educating the next generation now and through targeted initiatives, will they be able in turn to realize their potential they have as future pension fund beneficiaries, as decision makers within organizations, and again, as the drivers for change, the change agents we need in order to ensure that we are mitigating some of the challenges and risks, such as climate change, and that we are finding new means for more equality. Because again, in an ever more global world, a globalized world, it is becoming even more so important that we are also working alongside regional communities to ensure we are not creating more pockets of polarization. And we all have seen the impacts on what can happen in the context of geopolitics and political changes and how rapidly these changes can happen. Just if we look back the last 4 to 5 years.
Thanks, Martina. I think that's a very good point. It again just highlights the importance of the NSFM and everything that you're doing. Now, as you mentioned, the ICMA also has a Future Leaders Initiative, and that is their means of interacting with and engaging young professionals within the ICMA network. So they also have initiatives such as educational tools, courses, mentoring, but specifically in regards to the sustainability agenda, do you have any insights or advice you could share with us that would help us to take the sustainability agenda forward with the Future Leaders Group?
With great pleasure. I think one thing we have learned is to focus on a few objectives/initiatives and to do these well. You know, defining your ambitions and objectives, then identifying the relevant themes that underpin the effort, and then to look for the relevant partners to actually collaboratively achieve the goals is an absolute prerequisite. And it is very important to note that there is a need for balancing initiatives across the spectrum that will look at education, capacity building, mentoring, and career and talent management, and that actually enable the next generation to fully grasp the sheer complexity and the different facets of ESG investing and sustainable finance. And for me, it's interesting to watch, to hear when I'm discussing this with other industry professionals and decision makers, given how young our industry is, also how much need there is more from the older generation to literally listen and learn and to adapt. And I think there's the great benefit in working with youth networks in general. There is much more the drive, the interest, and the commitment towards collaboration and adaptation versus well-established networks and ultimately a very well-established governance process that in turn might actually hinder flexibility and progress. So from my point of view and from our point of view, we have never seen ESG as a disruptor. We have seen ESG as a way to innovate and to motivate. And hence, this sits very well alongside the agenda of what the next generation is very often trying to achieve, being agents for change and impact.
Thank you, Martina. The point you make about the willingness to collaborate amongst young people, I think that's so poignant, and that's going to be very important to take the sustainability agenda further in a post-COVID world where, you know, may be relying a lot more on technology. And hopefully this can create a lot of opportunities for cross-border collaboration and a lot more engagement from the next generation. So thank you for your advice. We'll keep that in mind moving forward with our own initiatives from the ICMA Future Leaders. Moving on to the next question, specifically on the financial markets. Of course, the big trend that we've seen in recent years, in the last decade in particular, is the major rise of ESG in many different facets of financial markets. One more specific recent example is the major growth of sustainable bond markets. So what would you see as the next incoming trend on the horizon for financial markets?
Very good question. And you highlighted some of the key developments, you know, in 2020, the sustainable investment fund flows market broke through the $1 trillion barrier. Same time, we have seen figures by OPIMAS covering the whole universe of different so-called ESG investment initiatives now amounting up to something like $40.5 trillion. Again, figures are still very much at large, not clear or need more definition, also definition of terms. But one thing is clear, and that is that the most prevailing strategies, may they be linked to ESG screening, integration, or engagement, have really taken off in the last decade. And that is a picture across the asset class spectrum. You also highlighted the growth of sustainable bonds, estimated to reach something like $650 billion, according to Moody's, at the end of this year. Again, this is such a nascent market. If you look 10 years ago when the first climate awareness bond was launched, we were talking about a market that was worth less than $10 billion. So a clear phenomenal market momentum when we look at growth and opportunity. But what is on the horizon now? I briefly highlighted the paradigm shift that we've been seeing. Historically, the strong focus on green and environmental initiatives across the spectrum, policy and regulation, industry and decision making, and of course, science-based targets and research. But that picture is changing. And with the emergence and the awareness of social issues, we are seeing now the market coming together, the policymakers driving for, and the academics researching at large the areas linked to the just transition. And the just transition is a framework that was historically developed by the trade union movement to actually encompass a range of social interventions needed to secure workers' rights and livelihoods when economies at large are shifting to sustainable production, primarily combating climate change and protecting biodiversity. And this type of framework has now been endorsed by multiple governments and organizations, you know, including the ILO, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, Paris Agreement, and ultimately the European Union. And the ambition of the just transition is to create opportunities at scale that actually provide sound investments in low emission and job-rich sectors and technologies on the one hand, but that also increase in turn the social dialogue and democratic consultation, you know, of social partners. These are trade unions and employers and other stakeholders, when and where social protection along with active labor market policies are concerned. And this is an increasingly important picture, given that we cannot move out of sectors that will help us to move along the climate change agenda and trajectory, but at the same time forget that we need to train and skill and build scale and development in areas when and where new technologies, you highlighted this yourself, as well as industrial change are concerned. In order to avoid polarization to provide further social cohesion and the long-term opportunities for the future of work, we need to have a just transition framework. And that framework will enable employers to operate a better and more just work environment, and will also enable communities to better manage the impacts of the transition that we are seeing. And that in turn will lead to a fairer distribution of costs and benefits. And a last note on this, you know, at the EU level, this type of just transition has been taken forward as a specific mechanism that's closely aligned with the European Union's Green Deal. And it is actually a key tool, the so-called just transition mechanism, to ensure that the transition towards climate neutral economies can happen in a fair way, leaving no one behind. And they are literally mobilizing now at least 150 billion euros in the next, so to say, 5 to 6 years to support most affected regions to actually ensure that there's a socioeconomic balance versus impact of the transition. And again, in turn, with all of these initiatives centering around the just transition, there is a major role that the next generation can play in the context of ensuring that there is a fair place within communities, within the workplace, to ensure that ultimately the type of training, skilling, and reskilling required is also supported by the next generation of leaders that in turn, as we highlighted earlier, are very often more adaptable and flexible towards change, and that in turn can help with spreading the word and supporting others through collaborative initiatives. So we ourselves as NSFM are really supporting the just transition agenda. We will push much more information into the public domain of how that will look like from a public policy and engagement perspective, down to ultimately supporting initiatives in industry, as well as the type of research that's done, for instance, by the LSE in London and Nick Robbins, of how this research can be utilized to keep everyone on track and on the agenda.
Thanks, Martina. It really sounds like the next decade for sustainable finance will be even more exciting and transformational than the last has been. And it certainly sounds like, you know, with the just transformation coming in, that the S&G parts of ESG have a clear path to being just as integrated into our ESG focus and systems that we have in place as the E has been for so long now. So that's just tremendously exciting. So I just have one question left for you, just to leave things with some thoughts for contemplation for those listening in. So what message or advice would you like to impart to the next generation of financial professionals, just to wrap everything up?
Thanks a lot, Rebecca. I think it's important to educate yourself and to involve yourself in continuous and lifelong learning. And that includes literally individual learning, you know, capacity building, as well as collaborative learning and initiatives to bring others up to speed. And I would like to encourage everybody now that's interested in this area to familiarize themselves with the type of free ESG online education platforms that exist. For instance, EDX, the SDG learning platform, and various others, to get a better understanding of the key issues and topics concerning this and the next generation, and to then maybe join collaborative initiatives that can target specific areas. May they be linked to climate change, biodiversity, and or social issues. Because again, in this broad context of complexity of ESG, it's important to maybe take one step and topic at a time, and then to build and improve and interconnect the different issues as the ultimate trajectory of change. And that's what we are trying to drive here as well, with this broader picture around what does it mean to enable the just transition.
Thank you, Martina. And with those final, very useful takeaways, that will be the conclusion of this podcast. So I'd like to thank you again, Martina, very much for joining me to share about the NSFM. It's been a pleasure to hear from you about this today.
Thank you very much, Rebecca, for having us.
And thank you, everybody, for listening in.
Thank you for listening. For more ICMA podcasts and further information on capital markets, please visit our website, icmagroup.org.